Coming up on podcast 1471, Tesla open up the supercharging network in five more countries in Europe to non-Tesla drivers. Stick around. Also on the podcast today, Europe's first homegrown battery plant begins shipping EV cells. Got some pricing for the Genesis GV60 and why Model 3s and Arniq 5s are selling for more than they were brand new. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. Those stories and a lot more coming up today on Wednesday, 18th of May. It's Martin here, and I've been through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with a little one to watch if you are looking for something to watch on YouTube. You know, a couple of days ago or so, I told you about that Porsche, which has got the underpinnings of their concept electric car, but in a Cayman body. Porsche recently announcing their electric sports car of the future, a one-off concept. The current Cayman wide body, the 718 Cayman GT4 e-Performance is its full name, taking those innards of the Mission R and putting them into a car that you might recognize if you're a Porsche fan. So, two upgraded motors, 1,073 horsepower, oil-cooled system, so one oil cooling loop, and that will do everything, I think, from the, he didn't specifically say inverters and control electronics, but I think everything, including oil cooling through the motors. Now, the guy from Porsche did say to Chris Harris, look, in road-going cars, yeah, we could do this. There's regulations, etc., homologation reasons that you'd probably choose water cooling. But actually, with this oil-cooled system, we can do a 30-minute race up against combustion cars. Have no derating. Watch that video if you do love Chris Harris. And I do love Top Gear's Chris Harris. I supported him donkeys years ago when I first heard of a website called Patreon. I think I put in £5 a month. He used to go around the country and make videos about cars going quickly, way before Top Gear days. I love Chris. He's often been quite anti-EV, at least in sentiment, over recent years. And that's fine. It's not a cult. We haven't always got to agree on the same thing. So I've often wondered kind of where his stand is on electric vehicles. But he's really open-minded. He absolutely loves this Porsche. He misses the engine. He says the only problem with it, it hasn't got an engine. But then, that's the first 5 seconds, then there's like 20 minutes of him just loving this electric Porsche. He has his own channel called Collecting Cars, and you can check that out. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you'd like to watch that really interesting kind of 20 minutes. I don't know if I love or hate the sound of the electric whine of the motors. It's both irritating to me after a while, and also utterly compelling, which I know makes no sense probably to you, but it's weird. Go and watch it. Let me know what you think of that. He is just in awe of this amazing racing machine that Porsche are now. They say it's a concept car, but he also says, look, this is really, really finished. I'm going to see that car at Goodwood end of June. They're going to have that car going up Goodwood at the Festival of Speed. I'll be there for that and some other things as well. So I'm looking forward to having a little sniff around it. Now, main story today. This has kept me very, very busy because every time I opened my Twitter account, there was like 20 more messages to read. Tesla have opened up their supercharging sites to non-Teslas. Massive headline story today over here in Europe. And it's not just the UK. So around 1 o'clock, I got a text message from a close friend saying, hey, can't tell you who told me, Tesla are announcing this very soon. And yes, very soon they did put it online. So if you go to the Tesla supercharging map web version, it was showing up with, I think, initially 14 sites in the UK. By the time I checked, it was 16 sites. By 2 p.m. in the afternoon, it was on the app, because I have the Tesla app for when I borrow a Tesla or whatever and drive one. So I had it, you know, already installed, account set up, etc. And so then it was showing in the app, and it's exactly as Tesla have done so far in the current trial, opening up them in France, Norway, and the Netherlands. Now they're adding the UK, but also, what I didn't realise at the time, adding Spain, Belgium, Sweden, and Austria alongside those UK supercharging stations. So yeah, I say it's opening up to all non-Teslas, obviously not Nissan Leafs, because it's the CCS Type 2 connector. Those 15 stations have 158 charge points. Like, that's how big Tesla build their hubs. 15 stations, 158 plug sockets you can use, which is brilliant. Now, I did see somebody put a screenshot on shortly after of the Cardiff one, and it said 0 of 8 available. So, you know, that could be 8 Teslas in Cardiff, or that could be other people going on and trying it out on day one. I don't know. For my UK listeners, I'll quickly run through these. Folkestone, Grays, which is East London Thurrock, Uxbridge, which is a cheap one. I think Uxbridge is still a V2 supercharger, so it's cheaper. Birmingham, Cardiff, Wokingham, which is near Reading, Thetford, Trumpington, which is near Cambridge, Banbury, Manchester, Flint Mountain, which is near Chester, and in Scotland, Addiston, Dundee, and Avonmore. In Wales, yes, Cardiff and Aberystwyth. Brilliant news. So, if you've done this yet, let me know how you got on. One of my friends, Maz, who's really active on EV Twitter, immediately took his Ioniq 5 to Uxbridge and plugged in and got 90, it's a V2, so he got like 98%, 98 kilowatts on his Ioniq 5. Yep, same as we've talked about already. If you want to use a Tesla supercharger now in those locations or any of the ones across Europe, get yourself the Tesla app, register, add a payment method. I use Apple Pay. And then when you turn up, you find, or maybe even before you turn up, check that one is free. I think, I don't know this, correct me if I'm wrong or add to my knowledge, I think if a Tesla driver is within a certain distance and they have navigated to the supercharger in their in-car, I think it might reserve one. I think it takes it off of the app for non-Teslas. I don't know that because I've not tried it. I think it's the case. So let me know. Yeah, you open up the app, you select what stall you're at, you pay anything from 60 to 62 pence per kilowatt hour. So this is not cheap by any means, but it's fast, and Tesla stations are often, like I say, there's often 8, 10, 12, 14 at a station, and so you can be sure, I think, if you're heading to it, you can get a charge, or there'll be a very short wait. I think you can always get a charge. And then, of course, there's the other side of it, which is how Tesla owners feel. Now, this has obviously been going on a long time, many, many months in Europe, and people had their say. But I guess because so many of my audience are in the UK, so many people that I follow on Twitter are in the UK, I did see more pushback today than before. I reckon it was a ratio of 5 to 1. And that's non-scientific. 5 Tesla owners saying this is great. It furthers people driving EV. It adds money to the coffers. And then one person saying this is terrible. And I get it because, well, my friend Maz, for instance, has an Ioniq 5. The charge socket is on the other side to a Tesla. And so now that these 16 supercharger stations are open in the UK, he's got as much right to go and use them as a Tesla owner, in my opinion, at least. Now these are the open ones. And yet Tesla owner's saying, but he's blocking a space. And it is, I don't know, I guess you can see it two ways. I see it from both sides as well. He has every right to go and charge. But yeah, it's the opposite side to a Tesla on the rear left. And so if that is the last space or the last two spaces, he's technically taking up two spaces. But, well, he's not, because now Tesla at a corporate level have said this is okay. So although the Tesla fans say this is not okay, they're ours. Actually, at a corporate level, Tesla saying, well, they're no longer yours. How do you feel about that as Tesla owners? I think most people are pretty pragmatic. If I'm honest, and it feels a bit odd sharing this because it'd be nice for me to be, hey, Mr. EV community. If I'd bought a Tesla for the reason that the supercharging network is so good, I think I'd be miffed. And I'd like to say, no, all for one and one for all and we all charge together. I don't think I would be like that. If I think I'd spend so much money on a premium car because of the network, and if not, if you didn't care, it's no problem. But because you knew it was always going to work, always going to be available, or mostly, as we grow, I think I'd have a little bit of a sour taste today. Am I a bad person for saying that? I hope you understand where I'm coming from. But also personally, selfishly, it's great news because now I can go and charge the mighty, mighty MG wherever I want to at those 16 stations. And hopefully more will get added. Still technically a trial, I believe. Let me know your thoughts, as always, on this main story. It's a big story to talk about today by emailing hello@evnewsdaily.com. Now, the Swedish battery manufacturer Northvolt began shipments last week of their first cells for electric vehicles. Northvolt became the first European firm to start commercial shipments to a car maker of their cells, giving shape to Europe's 5-year push to counter the Chinese dominance in EV battery production. Bloomberg says the first deliveries coming from Northvolt's plant in Skellefteå in Sweden, were made on schedule. The company is hiring 150 people a month at the plant, currently employing 1,000 workers. Northvolt plans to scale up production over the rest of the year, and it had secured more than $50 billion in contracts. Well, who are those contracts with? They are with the likes of BMW, Volkswagen, Volvo, and Polestar. Now, they didn't say who that first battery went to. Possibly, I'd imagine, Volvo, Polestar, as it's Sweden. But we don't know. Volkswagen Group are investors, shareholders, so it could have gone to them as well. China has fostered closer ties with mining companies in Africa and South America for years, exposing other manufacturers elsewhere to supply bottlenecks. And even now, with the raw materials, even though they might be mined around the world, they're nearly always processed in China. So some geopolitical shenanigans to get your bonds around. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon. Pricing in the US for the Genesis GV60, where you can free charge it, and why in Australia used EVs are more expensive than new ones. Stick around, those stories and a lot more coming up. And if you want your ad-free feed, you can get it on Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily, from like $5, $10 if you want to be an exec producer. And more, one of the benefits of this is that you get your ad-free feed, a little like RSS feed exclusive to you. You pop it into your podcast player and you skip the ads and you save yourself a bit more time. Back in a sec. Let's talk a little bit about recycling. Just to follow up to that previous story, Hydrovolt opened their doors as well to the largest battery recycling centre in Europe. They're in Norway. They can process 25,000 EV batteries a year, joint owned by Northvolt, who we just talked about. It can handle 12,000 tonnes of material every year. That's enough to cater for Norway's entire battery waste system. They can recover 95% of materials from a used EV battery. Plastics, copper, aluminium, black mass like nickel, cobalt, manganese and lithium. They're going to have access to the extracted aluminium to sell on at Hydro. Northvolt will get access to the battery metals to make new EV batteries. Now we've got some pricing for the Genesis GV60 electric SUV in the US. It starts at $59,980. Okay, let's not mess around. It starts at $60,000 for the advanced model. That's the base one. And the performance model is $69,000. And so 60 or 69 for those two models, you're going up against the Audi Q4 e-tron. That is 51 to 58. The Model Y, which is 65 to 70. And the Volvo XC40 Recharge, which is about $52,000 to $59,000. So ballpark the same as those cars. CNET says standard features include industry first technologies like Face Connect. So you scan your face on the B pillar or use a fingerprint sensor, and you haven't got to have a key, not even a fob to have in the car with you, just your face. And you've probably got that on you at most times. And so, like your phone, and that's what starts the car. Also got vehicle to load as standard in the US, a full suite of driver assistance systems. I think it's called HDA2. Standard in the US, even on base models. Additionally, it comes with all models come with dual motor all-wheel drive powertrain, 314 horsepower up to 430 horsepower, 0 to 64 seconds, 248 miles of EPA range. Now, the US configurator is different to the UK one, so I had a little play around earlier today, and the UK configurator has three models. The base one's rear-wheel drive, which US doesn't get. Then it adds Sport and Sport Plus when it goes all-wheel drive. But then there are some packages. It's about $2,000 or $2,500 to add the tech pack, which is the driver assist, the rear collision avoidance, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Yes, you can get it with cameras for mirrors over here because they are legal, and some other goodies and toys as well. Vehicle to load is optional. On the configurator in the UK that I was playing with, you have to spec that as well. I forget the price of that. It wasn't mega, but still, yeah, more equipment as standard in the US. Let's talk a little bit about free charging your GV60. 3 years of free charging on Electrify America, according to the press release I got from EA today. 3 years of 30-minute charging. Now, of course, this car is based on the same platform as the Kia EV6 and Hyundai Ioniq 5, so 800 volts architecture, more like 600 and something when it's empty, but either way, you can used Electrify America for 3 years, 30-minute sessions. Now, Genesis was going to bring the GV60 to the US market in spring 2022. Well, a week away from Memorial Day weekend, it's basically summer, writes Electrek. I'll pop a link to that if you want to find out more. Interestingly enough, my friend Kyle from Out of Spec has an interesting take on this free charging thing, which Electrify America are, you know, very boastful of. They've got a ton of partnerships now over the years, another agreement with an automaker. And he says, actually, this is the worst thing because no one quite realized what they were getting into at the beginning of this kind of free charging thing, which is happening in the US. Doesn't happen over here, by the way. That people aren't valuing DC fast charging. So even if they are able to charge at home, he's coming across people at fully blocked Electrify America stations with a big queue and talking to people who are 95%. And they're saying, well, I could charge at home, but this is free. I'm going to go get a coffee. And it's like, yeah, but you're pulling no juice because you're full. And the owners are like, yeah, but it's free for 3 years. Happens with the ID4. With this, there's a bunch of cars that get free Electrify America charging. And I hadn't thought of it like that. He's coming across more and more real-world situations where people are just charger blocking and being like, well, it's free, though. It came with the car. I only live 5 minutes away, but we're here. We'll do a bit of shopping. And, you know, why not? It's free. And that's using up the very, very limited DC fast charging infrastructure we have in the US. And he's like, this is a bad idea. This whole free charging thing, terrible idea. I hadn't made that connection. He's experiencing it in the real world increasingly, and he does not like it very much. That's interesting. Now, why are Model 3s and Ioniq 5s costing more in Australia than new ones? Well, at the time, in April 2022, when the study was done, a used 2021 Model 3 was $68,500, and that had 8,000 kilometres of the 73 cars analysed. That was the average. 7,500 kilometres on average of 73 cars for sale, at a price of just under $70,000. For context, many owners in Australia would have paid around $65,000 to drive away what was the old SR Plus car on the Model 3. So drive it for 7,500 Ks and add $3,000. The Hyundai Ioniq 5 as well, very popular EV. They put 65 of them on sale today in Australia. I know. 65 today. Anyway, if you got one of those 65, I am made up for you. Recent sold prices on Carloop show that, or data firm Carloop, show that the Ioniq 5 was selling for $92,000 with 4,000 Ks on the clock, 10,000 more than the all-wheel drive model cost when it was brand new. The supply of many EVs is dwindling this year, especially in Australia, and the subsidies available in many states and territories, the demand for EVs is only continuing to grow and pushing used car prices up. Here in Europe, Skoda has started manufacturing batteries for electric cars on the MEB platform at their plant in Mladá Boleslav. This makes the car maker's main plant the only production facility for MEB battery systems in Europe outside Germany. 250 employees work at Skoda, assembling 250,000 battery systems for the MEB cars a year. They're going to go into Volkswagens, Audis and Seats, as well as the Skodas. They are the Czech bit of VW, the only production site in Europe outside Germany to make the MEB batteries. The little baby battery, the Tiddler, has 8 modules and 55 kilowatt hours. The medium has 9 modules and 62 kilowatt hours. And the big kahuna is 12 modules and 82 kilowatt hours. In addition to the modules, which each contain 24 cells each, they also assemble the cooling, the thermal management, the BMS, etc., etc., at Skoda. Texas is gaining the first vehicle tech certification program in the nation. A Texas college is now home to the first automotive tech certification program. The Northeast Texas Community College is the first of its kind in the nation with an accredited college status. The students work on EV systems and conversions. The certification is done by Carroll Shelby Automotive Program, and they do things like the tech, the motors, the batteries, chargers, and converters. Mercedes-Benz are next in the news. They years ago invested in a company called Scylla, or Scylla, which I mentioned only recently on the podcast. And would you believe it? No stories about that for a while. And then, just like buses, two come along at once. Mercedes-Benz taking a step forward with their next-gen battery material, silicon anode chemistry. And Merck are going to put it in the G-Class. They're all electric G-Wagon. The innovative high-silicon anode material increases energy density of batteries without compromising safety, and you can get a up to 40% increase in energy density, 800 watt-hours a litre at cell level. Major development now gives Mercedes-Benz the ability to store much more energy in the same footprint, increasing the range of their vehicles and making big cars like the G-Class much more usable as an electric vehicle. The advanced silicon anode materials in this cell, which they'll be using from 2025, is made in their Washington State facility, or Scylla's Washington State facility. XCharge are a name you might not have heard of. Last story today, they've released a new high-powered charger, 210 kilowatt charger. What makes this special, though, is the battery inside it. Yeah, I've talked about FreeWire over the years quite a lot. Same technology that I can understand. The liquid-cooled battery pack from BYD stores 466 kilowatt hours of electricity inside the EV charger. It has battery to grid functionality, so you can even dump energy back into the grid, a bit of offsetting, and make money when the prices are high. And also, of course, you can have a much lower grid connection. So you have a 30 kilowatt grid connection, which is, you know, not far above domestic levels. And all of a sudden, you can charge cars at 210 kilowatts because you have this huge energy store of this lithium-ion battery inside it. So to have an ultra-fast, high-power charger no longer needs this huge, heavy construction. You can literally have a 30-kilowatt grid connection and replace maybe an old 50-kilowatt bit of hardware that's been in the ground for 10 years. Take it out, put this in, and it's a massive upgrade, but actually kinder to the grid. I love these stories like this. Right, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. What's the best way to help educate your friends, family and colleagues about electric cars? I'd love to know, and I'll read them out on Sunday. Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Many, many thanks to all of our Patreon supporters, our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, emobilitynorway.com, Octopus Electric Juice, they make public charging simple. You have one card, one map and one app, and our friends at Millbrook Cottages as well, five-star luxury cottages down there in Devon. Have a good and see you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.